This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Monday means EJ Raddick from NHL Now on the NHL Network, which you can watch between the hours of 4 and 6 Eastern Time. And, of course, he was in St. Louis for the All-Star Game. Before we get to all that, I know he didn't play in the NHL, didn't play hockey, but the loss of Kobe Bryant has really resonated around all of sports and really all over the world. The National Hockey League has responded. Tweets from Alexander Ovechkin, Wayne Gretzky, Anze Kopitar, PK Subban, John Tavares, Kyle Okposo, Nazem Kadri, Martin Brodeur. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can go to NHL.com if you want to read them all. But just really devastating news yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a young person that's taken, you know, in such a tragic way, especially with a child involved, and I believe there were 9 people on that ill-fated helicopter trip, and it's heartbreaking. There's no question. You have someone that was kind of an icon in the sports business and known around the world, really. I know that when I helped launch ESPN Magazine in 1998, he was amongst the 4 athletes that was on the cover. It was kind of we were looking forward. That was the pitch with ESPN Magazine at that time was we were kind of, you know, looking ahead, and we had the 4 athletes moving forward on the cover.
Was that the Next campaign that they had?
Next, exactly. That was it. That was correct. And it was Lindros, although I think Lindros was already kind of established at that point, but Kobe Bryant, Lindros, Alex Rodriguez, and Cordell Stewart were the 4 athletes that they chose at the time. And, you know, Kobe certainly, you know, he was one of these guys that had a tremendous career. I think he won 5 championships and Olympic gold medals. And like I said, known around the world. And, you know, obviously even in his post-playing career, he's won an Oscar. And he's done some really special work doing children's books and working with women basketball players. He has the 4 daughters. And just heartbreaking. I don't know what else to say. It reminded me when I was probably 17 or 18, when Thurman Munson, perished in a plane crash. And, you know, this one made all the more worse by the fact that there were so many other people and a lot of other people in the helicopter and his own daughter. So, you know, all you can do is feel sad and pass along your sympathies to the family and all those impacted. And there were many.
Yeah, it's amazing. And now, you know, being a father myself, and you've been a father for a while too, the thing that resonates to me is as awful as the passing of Kobe, you know, 41 years old, he was able to live a short life but accomplished so much. But you think about his daughter, 13 years old, just starting life, just thinking about
terrible.
She's going. And then the surviving members of the family too, the mother who loses a daughter, loses a husband, and the siblings who lose their older sister. I mean, those are the people that you just are just so devastated for, just an absolute tragedy. Absolutely. And his friends, you know, you're finding out the other people that were on that that helicopter, and it's just so stunning and just so depressing. And we just wanted to kind of start just acknowledging it, because it's just something that's really resonated through everything, in not just sports, but in pop culture, and that's a significant life that he led.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it.
So now we move on to more mundane things, and that, of course, was the All-Star weekend in St. Louis. You got to be there live. I got to work it for Westwood One back in New York. But just your general impressions of what's now becoming a hockey-mad city, right? They win the Stanley Cup last year. Yes. They get to host the All-Star game this year, and it says all American roads seem to point through St. Louis right now when it comes to hockey.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's a franchise that came in that first big expansion in 1967. They had never won until last year. And think about what's gone on in St. Louis over the last couple of years. I mean, they had a Winter Classic there a couple of years back. Then they go on this crazy last-to-first run and win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, now they have the All-Star game, which is like kind of the big convention. Like, you know, you think of the NHL. There's 2 big conventions in the league, basically, the All-Star Weekend and the Draft, where all the teams are in some way, shape, or form represented there. And it's been an unbelievable, it's kind of a magical time for St. Louis Blues fans and for that franchise. And, you know, they're enjoying every minute of it, and they've got a really good team that sits in first place in the Central Division right now and has an excellent chance to do damage again in the playoffs this year. So we'll see. But, yeah, it was a fun weekend. there was a lot of interesting things that went on. The skills, I thought, was maybe one of the better skills competitions in terms of being there and seeing it kind of go through them quick. You had the women involved, which was just awesome. The shooting stars was something new. I thought that was fun. I think it needs to be tweaked a little bit, but I think they have a really good idea there. I love the guys coming through the crowd to come up to the platform, and so that was terrific. You know, the games themselves, the All-Star games, I mean, we could talk about this from now until the end of time. I've covered All-Star games going back to 1991, and I've watched a bunch of them before that. And if you're looking for a real hockey game, you're never going to get it. The guys are there. It's an exhibition. They're not going to play physical. But I thought in watching the final game between the Atlantic and the Pacific divisions that those last 10 minutes, the guys really kind of ramped it up a little bit and were pretty competitive. So, you know, on the whole, a great weekend for fans who went there, a great weekend for kids who were there, lucky enough to be part of it, and the city of St. Louis, a great weekend for the league and its sponsors. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky said something interesting when he was talking about the All-Star weekend. He said, you know, I could never picture not attending an All-Star game. So it just goes to show you how things have changed over the years and the mindset of guys has changed, but and reminds me once again that Wayne Gretzky was, I mean, he, between Wayne Gretzky and Gordie Howe, I mean, you think about, they are the true ambassadors of this game over the last 70 years, really. And Wayne has done so much when in terms of being out there and being involved in the media and in the public. Just never, almost never turns down an opportunity to kind of help promote the game. And
right.
I think that speaks volumes about him and his family and his upbringing, and he was there again, you know, to be part of the festivities.
I enjoyed it. I think this 3-on-3 tournament, they've gotten it right. 5 years now that they've done it, and I think there's a lot of fun to it. You're not going to get guys that are going to kill each other. That's just not the way that All-Star games work. But I like it, and by the time you get to that championship game, I think it's fun, and you get moments where that awkwardness of the St. Louis crowd having to cheer a Patrick Kane goal and then booing him and then him playing to the crowd. I mean, moments like that where I think it's a lot of fun. Just the talk show host in me kind of want to debate a couple of things if you're on board with it.
Right,
number one. Come on, give the MVP to Tomas Hertl, right? I mean, he had five goals. He had the game-winning goal in the championship game. Well, what are we doing?
I mean, that is you're so right. I couldn't figure it out at the end. I'm like, nothing against Boston. I mean, here's another guy, by the way, terrific ambassador for our sport, always willing to jump in, has great personality. He's just one of these guys that you just love being around. And so I'm happy for him to win it. But, I mean, the guy scored five goals over the two periods, basically, of hockey, and he was on the winning team. I mean, what else does he have to do? Does he have to score nine?
Right.
And, by the way, Tomas Hertl has a tremendous personality, huge personality, big smile, somebody that you really love kind of being around as well. So, you're bang on that. I just, you know, and again, nothing against Foster, but, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I thought that was a little
not good.
That was a little silly. And the other thing, too, is, like I said, I like this format. But now they're toying with the idea of having more of an international flavor where it's the North America versus Europe or however they want to break it down, international, kind of like what they did years ago with North America versus the world, which I really didn't think worked. I think it's a logistic problem as far as, I don't know how they're going to be able to put four teams together and have everybody, you know, satisfied. I think you should just leave it alone. I like the fact the NHL is trying to move forward and think about stuff, but I think they've got something right here. They've only done it for 5 years. I would leave it alone.
Yeah, I think I would try to. I would basically leave it alone for right now. I will say this again, going back to my experience. I've seen East versus West. I've seen North America versus the world. I've seen teams that were picked by the players. That was very popular a couple of years ago. It kind of came and went. We have this 3-on-3 tournament now. It's been pretty good. You know, and also a thing I like about the 3-on-3 tournament is it goes to the roots of grassroots hockey. Because, you know, when you're a kid growing up and you're playing Mite and Squirt and Pee Wee and, you know, the different levels where no matter where you are, I mean, you have tournaments and you play, you know, you'll go on a weekend and, you know, all the hockey people know this. You know, they have kids who play hockey. You have these little tournaments. So I think they've that is another element of it, which I think works for the hockey, the hockey culture. So I like it as it is right now, but I'm not against tweaking things. I'm not against trying different things. And if they want to try that one year, I don't really have a big problem with it. Like I said, it's an exhibition, and it's a weekend that is kind of a convention for hockey people and a chance for the sponsors and fans to kind of mix. And so that's the point of it. Mm-hmm. And I won't be surprised, if I live long enough, they'll have several more different ways they do it.
Yeah, I guess you want to try to be progressive, but it is what it is. We've been debating this going back to our NHL Live days. And I'm kind of waiting for the one sport to just say we're going to do away with it, but there's sponsors that get involved. And as you said, it's kind of a convention feel. The NHL doesn't have like a Super Bowl, where everybody descends on a site every year because you don't know where the finals are going to be. Like this year, the Super Bowl's in Miami. That's where everybody kind of gets together. The other sports don't have that. And the All-Star game can be that for them. And it could be huge for Florida next year, right? I mean, that's a team that's trying to gain some traction. And, so it's never going to go away, but it's also never going to be, big. It's never going to get a tremendous rating. It's not going to be anything everybody's going to fall all over. There's going to be players like Ovechkin who are not going to want to play in it, and there's going to be complaining and moaning and groaning. But it's that just kind of the negative byproduct, I guess, of having this. It's never going to go away, nor should it.
Yeah, I think exactly. I mean, there's reasons, there are business reasons why they do it. And I do think when I'm there, fans do, who are there, they don't always love the game. I mean, they sit there during the game, and there's an awkwardness of who to root for, and, they root for the home guys and against some of the rivals. But, for the most part, for the people who come in for those weekends, and there are people who come to the All-Star weekend year after year after year, they love being around the players, love getting autographs, kind of be able to mingle and see these guys in a little bit more relaxed circumstances. So, all in all, I mean, I didn't see any sad faces there.
It's always fun.
Having a good time. So, that's how it was.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the second half of the season, which begins officially tonight. There are the first byes are also happening now, so there's a few teams that will not play until the weekend, but we will get the second half of the season officially going tonight. You look at the Eastern Conference, you've got Columbus and Carolina as the last two playoff teams. Philadelphia's a point out. Toronto's 4 points out. Is that where you draw the line? The Buffaloes, the Montreals, the Rangers, are they cooked? Are they done? Or do you still want to see a little bit before you say that this is just Philadelphia and Toronto as the only teams on the outside that still can make it?
I mean, I would say that's likely the case. But, we did see a team that was dead last year on January 3rd or 4th. End up making the playoffs and winning the Stanley
but,
Cup.
But
right?
Honestly, do you see any of those teams that are like a player away or a move away from doing that again?
No, not really. I mean, I would put it this way. St. Louis was unique in that they had a really good team. And the thing they were missing was really quality night after night goaltending. And it was one piece. Jordan Binnington arrived, and he fit the bill, and they took off. And so I don't see, when I look at the teams you mentioned, there's no one team there that I say they just need one thing and they could, boom, they can be right back in the mix. So, no, I don't see anybody in that in that area. So I would tend to agree with you that that's probably where you draw the line.
Now, what's interesting is the West, right? Arizona and Vegas are the two teams, although that can change minute to minute because Vegas could very easily jump into first place in the Pacific Division. That's how tight things are there. Winnipeg is 3 points out. Chicago, 3 points out. Minnesota, 5 points out. Nashville, 6. San Jose, Anaheim, and Los Angeles, I think, are done. Nashville is interesting because they've got a plus goal differential. We know this team is better. That could be your version of St. Louis from last year, right? I mean, that's a team that's got a lot of talent. So do you draw the line there, or do you even say, listen, even as they sit 6 points out, I don't believe. So do you include Chicago, Minnesota, and Nashville as contenders at this point?
Well, I think you got to include Nashville, for just the fact that they've played fewer games, I believe, than everybody else.
47.
I mean, 47 games, so I mean, with two wins, that takes them to 55 points, and they still have they're still right there.
Yeah, they'd be 2 points out.
And they'd have, they still have a couple of games in hand on Chicago and Winnipeg, and they'd be ahead of them now in the standings. So I think you got to give them a shot still. They have a good team, but they have a team to me that, you know, when Peter Laviolette was there, I didn't think they defended well. And I think that John Hines will try to, you know, he'll bring a different system. And I think that they'll try to simplify things and they'll try to defend better. The thing I want to see is, you know, are the guys there that are supposed to be the guys to make the push, are they going to really do it? I mean, you know, is Ryan Johansson going to, you know, take another step? Or is he just going to be a really good player that is not, that's always going to leave you wanting? You know, I mean, he's played 47 games. He's got 27 points. I mean, he's a big right shot centerman. You think that he would be able to produce more than that. You know, Philip Forsberg so far has been just okay. I mean, after all, Matt Duchene has been just okay. You know, they had the issue with Ryan Ellis being hurt. They've got some guys under contract there, like a Kyle Turris. You probably can't move them. So does that mean you have to move Nick Bonino if you're looking to add something else? I don't know. So they've got some challenges in Nashville. But I do think that, you know, they've been a playoff team the last several years. They've got a lot of good personnel there. It's just a matter of if they can defend better, their goaltending gets better as a result of defending better. And some of these guys who are on longer contracts that, you know, and I've been a defender of Ryan Johansson in the past, but, you know, I was at that Winter Classic and just watching that game as they jumped out to an early lead and then watching Dallas just get physical and wear them down. And you're looking for pushback in that kind of situation. And I just didn't see any. So, that's probably why David Poile opted to fire Peter Laviolette. And the question will be, will they have that pushback that's necessary now in the second half? We'll see.
All right, you ready for some tweets?
Let's do it. Let's do
it. All right, Tom says, with Derek Jeter being elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, I was thinking of his NHL equivalent and came up with Jonathan Toews. Both captains, multiple championships, clutch, good guys off the field slash ice. Your thoughts? It's a pretty good one.
I think that's a pretty good one. You know, I think that's a pretty good one. I mean, you might go Sidney Crosby as well. I mean, a guy just works and, you know, gets the job done. I mean, Derek, I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, Don, I think he ended up sixth overall in hit in his career. So, you know, he put up some pretty lofty numbers. Now, he played for a long time, and he played really well in big games, as like Kays did, and as you could say for Crosby. So, yeah, I mean, those are the type players that come to mind when I think about Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby, I think, would probably be a better one. You're right, because they both kind of conduct themselves very similar, right? They both, they're not on social media, really. They don't say anything controversial. Yeah. They stay out of trouble. Yeah. But tremendous
players. And Toews is the same way. Yeah. The only reason I might lean on Crosby more is that Crosby was, you know, Derek played in New York where, as you know, I mean, you're under scrutiny, you know, as soon as you put your foot on the floor in the morning and get out of bed. And he kind of went through his whole career in New York with almost no off-the-field issues of any kind, I mean, that I could recall. So, you know, Sidney has been the face of the NHL now since coming in, and it's been pretty similar, right? So, you know, that comes to mind for me. But, you know, all those guys we mentioned, they're all winners and great players in their respective sports.
I'm not sure you're going to be able to answer this because you didn't watch any of the coverage on television, the All-Star game, because you were there.
I did watch some of it because I was in and out of interviews and stuff like that. But
so this is perfect. Because Nick says, hey, guys, just wondering if either of you like the different things NBC did on the All-Star game coverage, such as the puck trails and having a circle underneath the puck carrier. I didn't care for it, but I understand they want to try and make it easier for the casual fan.
Well, the puck tracking is coming, right? We're going to have it in the playoffs, from what I understand, and it's coming down the road, and I'll be curious to see how the TV broadcasts use it. I kind of like the puck tracking, or the puck trail. I think it's helpful for fans, and it wasn't as, you know, it wasn't the same as the Fox puck that we remember
right
from back in the, you know, the mid-90s when Fox had the national coverage. I think it was 95 to 99 or 98, something like that, a four-year window where, oddly enough, every Stanley Cup final ended in a sweep. But, yeah, I kind of like that. I did like the trail of the puck. It kind of enables the casual fan or the person who's trying to learn the game to kind of follow the play a little bit better. And I didn't think it was intrusive. I didn't as much like the players' names on the screen.
Right. That was a little too noisy for me.
Yeah, yes, it was. But, again, I'll be curious to see what, you know, NBC and the Canadian broadcasters and then moving forward, whoever ends up with the rights moving forward that has the opportunity to take advantage of the tracking, how they utilize it in their broadcast. But again, it's just another example of a changing world.
David Hines says, how much of a boost do you think the 2021 All-Star Weekend will give the Panthers as they keep trying to grow their fan base? Do you think that besides winning, it could help, or is it just a last-ditch effort by the NHL to try to make hockey work in South Florida?
Well, I think we had the All-Star game in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I think Dan is old, and somebody went MIA that weekend in Florida, like in the early 2000s, I believe. I mean, I'd have to double check. But I mean, the thing is, the franchise, has had a long dry spell when you think about things over the last, going back to when they were the Cinderella team that went to the Cup final in '96. I believe it was in their third year of existence. So, what's gone on there now, it seems like it's starting to take hold a little bit there. They're in third place in the Atlantic Division. They're only a point behind the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they have a good group of players there. And I've talked about this on my show. I'm sure I've talked about it with you as well, that, for me, they need to change the culture, within that group, because it's an easy place to be distracted. And they've got good players there now. And even with Sergei Bobrovsky really kind of underperforming at this point, they're in a good spot. So if the Florida Panthers make the playoffs, imagine if we have a first-round series, Tampa and Florida. That would be great.
Right.
We're on track for as we speak. So that would do a lot, I think, to really generate a lot of excitement for hockey in that area. And, I think that, the All-Star Weekend will be a nice thing for them to have there, as long as they continue to be a competitive team.
That's
and are
the
in
thing.
The mix and make the playoffs. That's the most important thing. I mean, you talked about it years ago, Donnie, when we were down in Carolina, doing the NHL, NHL live show. Is like, markets like that need to have that long playoff run to attract fans, because people, and I noticed this going back to when I was in Dallas in the early 90s, is that, and especially now that ticket prices in all these sports have gone up, there's really no teams almost anymore that just sell out no matter how they are, right? You have to really perform. And, if teams are doing well in any market, people jump on the bandwagon. People want to be part of it. So if the Florida Panthers can get their act together and be good and have a good playoff run this year and build on that and get better, people will go to the games. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Winning is what is the biggest thing. Now I think the All-Star game, helped in Nashville, Columbus, these hidden gems, right? Like, great arenas that are in great, areas where, you'd want to visit. Like, the All-Star game, I think, exposed those really cool places to people that normally wouldn't realize it. No offense to Florida. It's just the arena's in Sunrise. There's nothing special about the arena. There's nothing really special about the area that you want to kind of expose the world to. It's off the beaten path, though, kind of away from a lot of things. And so it's not like people will be exposed to anything that will make them want to go back down there. It's about them winning. Yeah. It's about them being a competitive team, and that's what's really going to put them on the map a little bit. But I think places like Nashville and Columbus really were helped by the All-Star game, because those are nice. Those are nice buildings that you wouldn't think to go to otherwise.
Nashville, certainly. I mean, what a great – I mean, it's one of those places that everybody loves going there for many – a plethora of reasons. But, I would say about Florida, too. It's like Arizona. The arena is kind of not in the right spot. And maybe Ottawa is another place like that. And we'll see down the road if Vinny Viola and that group decide at some point to look into the idea of maybe going into another area. Like, if they were in, let's say, Fort Lauderdale, I think that franchise might have a better opportunity. But, that's a lot of money and a lot of investment, and who knows what they'll do over time. But if the team wins and has success, my experience has been that the games are, you have a less troubled time selling tickets, particularly for big games.
Right.
So we'll see how things go. But right now, they've been on a nice run this year.
Mike asks, what team has been the most disappointing to you overall this season?
Disappointing. I would say Nashville is one that comes to mind right away for the reasons we discussed. I think Vegas is a little disappointing when you consider the division that they're in and, the personnel they have. Although I do think that they need some help on defense. I think they've overinvested in offensive players and underinvested on defense. And so I think that's kind of come back to bite them a little bit. But, I mean, those are two, I guess, that come to mind right now. I mean, Montreal a little bit, but they've had injuries that have really you know, hampered them this year. They've got a, you know, they don't have a deep roster, and they've had a couple of important players be out of the mix. Toronto, to a certain extent. I mean, who knows if they're even going to make the playoffs right now? You know, they made the coaching change. Of course, a lot of these teams have made coaching changes this year. So those are the ones that come to mind.
Right, San Jose jumps to mind to me, too. Not that I thought that they were going to be a great team, but they've been, like, hovering around one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny, though, about San Jose, Don, is, like, on opening night I watched them, and I did not like their game from opening night immediately. I watched them, and I said, this team, and now remember, they were missing, I think, a guy, you know, Evander Kane was suspended, so he wasn't playing. They might have had another guy out with injury. But I just looked at their roster, and I said, this is a much thinner roster than we're used to seeing with the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, the goaltending was a big question mark, and it's been that way for a while now. And, you know, and Eric Carlson didn't look all that impressive. And you know, they've kind of loaded up with those two guys on defense, Burns and Carlson, who really don't defend well. And, you know, you have a goaltender. There's goaltenders that are struggling, and you have guys that play a lot that don't defend well. That's, to me, is a mix. It's a dangerous mix. And then you add in the fact that their roster was much thinner than it had been in the past because of salary cap considerations. So, I mean, I guess for most you would say it's a disappointment, but I guess I like, you know, right away, from night one, I didn't like that team this year.
Alex kind of goes after me a little bit here. Says, can't agree with your glowing love for the All-Star game. I'm not sure I had glowing love for it.
I don't think either one of us has.
I think it is what it is. But you
know. Yeah, exactly.
Now, he says, as a European, I'm dismayed by the NHL sabotaging international hockey for decades, hockey plus the annual World Cup of Hockey, but they interrupt the season for this. So Ovechkin is right to boycott it, and so should others.
Well, Ovechkin didn't boycott it. Ovechkin chose not to go this year, and he's gone on many other occasions, and, you know, he just chose not to go this year. So, I mean, he pays the price for that, and we move along. You know, in Florida next year, it's nice weather. I would imagine Alex will probably go.
If he doesn't, I don't think he's boycotting it because of the lack of play in the Olympics. It would much be easier to have a conversation on the phone with him. I'm not sure what he means by sabotaging. You know, you can't win, right? Because, listen, I'd love to have the World Cup of Hockey back because I'm contracted to do the play-by-play on radio for ESPN when it does come back. So I'm a little disappointed that there isn't the World Cup of Hockey, all right? And that's obviously before the season. So that to me doesn't matter. The Olympics, it's interesting, right? When they go, I can't believe that they're going to hit the pause button for 16 days in the regular season. Don't they care about the regular season? Why are these guys going? They're professionals, yada, yada, yada. But then they don't go, and it's like, do they not care that the best of the best isn't representing their country? Like, they can't win. Either way, they're getting. So I'm not sure what he means by sabotaging. Does he mean sabotaging when they went? Are they sabotaging it now by not going? Like, so I'm really not sure how one really relates to the other. Every sport's got an all-star game. Football, for the physicality of it, does their Pro Bowl at the end of the season. But basketball, baseball, and hockey all do it in the middle of the season. They all, you know, have their breaks. So I'm not really sure what the issue is. I mean, like I said, there's nothing to glow about, but there's certainly nothing, I think, to kill. And, you know, players boycotting it doesn't make a lot of sense because, like, Ovechkin's not going to play tonight against Montreal because of it.
That's right. Yeah, and again, I think boycotting is the wrong word. So, I mean, that's where I would leave it, is that, you know, it is. I'm not going to sit here and just say, hey, listen, you could never go, life couldn't go on in the NHL without the All-Star game. It certainly could. But, again, it's a chance for the sponsors and for the league and for fans and young people to have an opportunity to all be in the same place and for the fans to get a chance to be around.
That is what it is. Don't try to make it something it's not. I mean, you know,
I always feel the same way. Exactly. It's so true. It is what it is.
You know, it's Thursday, you know, or Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. It's like, I'd like to make Wednesdays better, but they are what they are. You know, so you try to make the most of it. It's smack in the middle of the week. Yeah. It's that nondescript day that you live with. It just, some things are just, they just exist. And I think they've kind of found the best case scenario for the All-Star game, and that's the way it is. But I'm happy it's back tonight. We got games, so I'm looking forward to talking about some other stuff.
The thing I'm not always happy about is with these bye weeks in here, you know, you have tonight, there's six games, so that's terrific, although you know, it's interesting for some of the teams. Like St. Louis has really got a crazy schedule done. They host the All-Star game, and they got four guys in it, right? Their whole equipment, everybody's working, so there's no break, right? They were on a plane yesterday to Vancouver afterwards to get to Vancouver where they'll play tonight, and then they go to tomorrow night into Calgary. So back-to-back games right out of the jump for a team that was, you know, the host All-Star city. So I know you make your ice picks from time to time. That might weigh into your thinking tomorrow night when St. Louis is on the second of a back-to-back in Calgary.
Right, and that is a very, very good point. Those are good teams, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, where they're going to go. All those teams battling for the top of the Pacific Division, so should be a lot
a crazy
of fun.
Race. That's a crazy race out there.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it because there's going to be a lot of fun. And if the season ended today, guess what? We get the Flames and the Oilers in the first round of the playoffs. Battle of Alberta.
We got some good matchups. If it ended today, Colorado-Dallas.
Yeah, that's good.
Edmonton-Calgary. Pittsburgh Islanders again from last year, and then Tampa and Florida.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Some great matchups, yeah.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You got it, my friend. See ya.
All right, that's the great E.J. Raddick. Joins us every Monday here on Game Misconduct. As E.J. said, there are six games tonight, some of the highlighted ones. Capitals without Ovechkin in Montreal against the Canadiens, the Maple Leafs and the Predators, two teams battling to try to make the playoffs, one in the East, one in the West, Stars and the Lightning, that should be a good one. As he mentioned, Blues and the Canucks, one of the late games. So those are some of the highlighted games tonight. We got lots to get into coming up Wednesday when we have Leah Hextall on. It was nice to kind of recap everything that happened over the weekend. And, of course, the somber news about what happened with Kobe is always going to resonate for sure. But we wanted to get that into the conversation. And go to NHL.com if you get a chance. They've collected all of the social media comments from all of the significant former and current players of the National Hockey League that had their comments about the great Kobe Bryant. So we didn't get a chance to read them all on the podcast, but we'd love you to be able to go to NHL.com to check that out. So we'll be back with you again on Wednesday. Want to get in touch with me at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.